Yeah.
Why is 6 afraid of 7?
Good 7, 8, 9.
Welcome to week 678 of the Crankcast. You could have made that easier on me.
I was trying to figure out what you were trying to do.
Yeah, well, maybe we should talk about
these things. I'm not a trusting person by nature.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about these things ahead of time.
What's he trying to do to me is what I was thinking.
I wasn't trying to do anything to you, Mike.
Nobody usually is.
Yeah, you're right. Probably nobody nobody usually is trying to do anything to you, Mike.
Yes, I know that.
So, yeah, when they're not after you, you are paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain, so I won't.
Good. I mean, you could complain.
Well, that's the point, is that I could, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. Are they singing German choral songs next door?
No, that's like, it was like the battle hymn of the Republic, it sounded like.
Wow.
And then it turned into something else.
That is something else.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish you'd keep a running sample of all the stuff they're doing and then, like, mix it into something.
They do cycle through stuff, so it's like, it changes.
Yeah. It'd be kind of cool. It's like found samples. You can make whole songs out of this stuff, man. Like,
well, you could. I'm never going to do that.
Different songs, I mean. There are obviously already singing songs, so. Yeah, moving on.
What you been up to?
Just working. Overlapping back-to-back deadlines.
Yeah? Am I one of those?
You're on the schedule for this week.
Oh, which one?
Issue 3, I think.
We're not done with 3 yet?
Issue 3, let me look. Hold on, where am I? What's going on here? Yeah, Grumble 3.
I was surprised. I thought we were done with that.
No.
Wait, is it colored yet?
No.
Oh, where's she at on that?
I'm not even sure if she's back from her European vacation.
She should have been. She came back before I did.
Oh, okay.
Because she was gone before I was gone.
So, yeah, I don't know. Of course, then there's New York City this weekend, which I think is... I'm blaming that as part of the reason why it was my past week and a half have been so busy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody kind of scrambling to get things done before that show.
Yeah.
That or it was just like the Harvest Moon, I don't know. You know. But so how come you're not doing New York City?
I haven't done New York in several years, actually.
Oh, really? I thought you were...
I thought
that was one of the ones you always hit.
I did. I hit it for the first, like, 5 years it existed. And it got, you know, exponentially bigger every year. And I just got tired of it. It is as big as San Diego in a lot of ways now. And I just don't... it's too much. You know what I'm saying? I like going to New York, but it's just as difficult to see anybody there. So if you're going for that, then good luck to you, I guess.
Isn't that weird? Because, I mean, that's sort of where it's like different parties are at odds, I guess. Because, I mean, that kind of situation is what a con owner, con promoter, or whatever, that's what they want, right? You know? They want something to be so giant,
well,
so monolithic.
I don't think I'm typical. I don't think. I mean, more than half the studio is there.
Yeah, but a lot of people once
studio, they're excited about it, you know. So
I mean, a lot of people, even if they still go, once a con hits a certain size, they just grumble about it, even if they go, you know.
That's just people. People grumble about stuff.
Well, I mean, but for a participant, once a con hits a certain size, it becomes a little unwieldy, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's still sort of at odds, because, like, where it was a really great con at one point for people to go to, I'm saying, you know. Now it's a little less of a great con for people to go to and more of just a great con for the people who made the con. or I guess, like, the one-day guests that don't have to work a table or something, too. I mean, they probably dig it a lot more, you know. All the variety of people. Although in New York, you would think people would be jaded to that. Because, I mean, they're kind of like a big metropolitan city anyway. They see all kinds of different weird shit every day. Like, so I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Never mind.
Okay.
All right. Now that we got that established. So should we make up another fake holiday to not be a con for?
No.
The thing that's hard about New York
Yeah.
That I think is different than San Diego is that San Diego, everything is like right there. Mm-hmm. In New York, there's so many options to end up all over the place. It's like more unwieldy in a different way because you can't really get out of the San Diego area for the most part.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, like, the people you want to see there are all probably going to want to be in the same area?
Yeah, like, there's a bar. There's, like, a hub that you can end up in. New York is not really that at all. Like, people just end up at different bars. And, you know, there's train access, so you end up going other places or cabs or whatever.
That makes sense. That's the way Wizard World in Chicago was like, because there was no place else really to go once you were out there. I mean, I guess Wizard World Chicago was more like San Diego in that way, is what I mean to say. Is that so, like, the people you wanted to see were probably going to be in one of a couple of places, unless they decide to make that long trek into the city or something. Like,
I think that's true of most shows.
Is that because, you think that's because convention centers are, like, usually located in, like, near airports and stuff or something? I'm trying to figure out, like, why that... I guess it's because where they put convention centers are usually business parts of town, right? Unless the town's so dang big that it's business and entertainment sectors, like, overlap or something.
Right.
Sectors.
Red Sector 7. But yeah, I can see what you're saying there. I still, and it's one of those things, I've still never actually been to the New York convention. I think I almost went that first year, but I was broke. And then after that, I just was busy. Or broke. Or both. One does not exclude the other.
Yeah.
And then after a certain point, I think I got, once once I got to a certain size or whatever, I kind of got less enthused about going anyway. I like the idea of smaller. Smaller shows just feel cozier, you know? And I don't mean small like, you know, it has to be in a hotel room kind of small, or a hotel dining room or ballroom or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just mean like, you know, up to mid-level shows or something. Like, they just feel cozier somehow. Who are we going to make up a fake holiday for?
For today?
Well, for missing New York, since the,
Chris Makepeace Day?
Well, since Chris Makepeace Day was really initially founded because we were missing out on San Diego. Uh-huh. So, yeah, like, we need to pick somebody else to make another holiday for so that we can miss out on New York. There's reasoning there somewhere. I'm not sure. I'm grasping, but, yeah.
Yeah, more grasping, but...
Yeah. But it needs to be somebody, I think it needs to be somebody somewhat obscure, but still recognizable to people. Like, I don't know. Like, I would say like Jose Luis Garcia Lopez Day, but it's like, I don't think he's quite obscure enough.
I mean, it doesn't mean he doesn't deserve a day.
Right. I mean, but every day is really, JLGL Day.
Does it have to be a day?
Well, it's a day week. You know, it's a feast. It's a movable feast, really.
Do we have to have one? Does it have to be a thing?
Well, no, I'm just saying, if we're missing out on this con, we can create another one. We have an opportunity here, is what I'm saying, Mike. To expand our holiday feasting. No? Just not feeling it?
Oh, no. I think Chris Makepeace, it takes away the specialness of Chris Makepeace Day.
Okay. All right.
Because that's just weird that you declared that.
You were there.
Today's Sabrina Day.
Today, he says it's Sabrina Day.
The Teenage Witch?
I guess.
Huh. Or are you just, like, really into Melissa Joan Hart? Which I can understand, don't get me wrong.
I'm more into that new show, which looks pretty cool.
Oh, okay. I don't know really anything about the new show. Word, brother. Word. Word. Hey, did you see this thing somebody recently made? Where they turned a bunch of Eminem interviews into a Talking Heads song? It's hilarious and very catchy. because they were just, it was like a bunch of separate interviews that they cobbled together, and it's not really his voice or anything. It's somebody singing like in David Byrne style, but they're singing like what he's saying, you know. And it's like kind of sounds like this weird Talking Heads song, but the chorus is. Or I guess in some interview he must have been talking about how much of a great rhymer he was, or a great lyricist he was. And he was using orange as an example and how people say, you know, nothing rhymes with orange, so he came up with a rhyme scheme for orange. True lyricist, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And, but anyway, it's funny and it's catchy, and I'm trying to find it so I can share it with you, because the chorus will get stuck in your head. Oh, I saw it on Boing Boing. That's what it was. But, now I'm trying to find the thing again, though. Huh. Oh, there it is. I'm going to send it to you, Mike. As soon as I remember how this new Skype works with its messaging system. There it is.
Do you know anybody at Black Mask?
I don't know.
Tim doesn't, right?
Sure Tim knows them.
I mean...
Why?
They got the license to this MTV show that I like called Sweet Vicious.
Hmm.
And I would like to do a cover for that, if possible, somehow.
I mean, I've done some work for them, and I knew, like, one of the editors. I didn't mean you had to watch it right now. Everything
wrong. Why did they do this?
For fun? Wait till it gets to the chorus. Yeah, see? Super catchy chorus.
That's really weird.
It's pretty good.
It is pretty good, but it's strange they made a whole...
Kind of an enjoyable song.
I thought you were saying it was just going to... Like, it was going to be going using one of the existing Talking Heads songs.
No, I... Yeah, they made it into a Talking Heads-esque song. Yeah.
Wow.
I like it.
It's just a super catchy chorus, though. it looks like Black Mask also is doing a Mr. Robot comic.
Mr. Robot.
I don't know much of anything about Black Mask.
It's like a Epitaph... subcompany. Epitaph, the label.
Oh, right.
You know.
And comic stores carry the books?
Yeah. Hmm. In fact, I worked with Derek Robertson on a book a couple years ago that Black Mask put out.
Hmm.
And, like, Matt Miner was doing a bunch of stuff with him, I think. And, I don't know. Yeah, but it's all sort of like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, there's not really one thing that ties them together, except I guess that they're all kind of like not superhero-y books. I guess. I don't know. Yeah. But that Four Kids Walking to a Bank was a Black Mask one.
Yeah.
And so is a book going on now called Calexit. Calexit. I guess.
Are these all movie books?
No. In fact, I didn't know they were doing any licensed stuff until today. When
are these all books meant to be made into movies?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think the idea behind Black Mask is that it's just sort of supposed to be like a punk rock publisher type, you know, pull in odd ideas and odd stories and publish them where they might not be able to necessarily get a voice, but not to be so indie as indie, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I haven't actually... worked with them in a long time, so I don't even know if the same editor I worked with was the editor there. So I don't know if that'd be any help to you or not, Sean.
That's cool.
But anyway,
we must use the power of the vast Crankcast audience to get him a cover.
Yeah. Oh, Marichi's done something with them before, too. What do you know about that? Nothing? Nothing?
Absolutely
not. I know nothing, but...
No, I'm looking at names. There. Actually, a lot of people you know have actually done some work with them.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm looking at their... They have a creators list on their website. And a lot of familiar names on here.
I wonder if they pay.
I mean, they pay. I don't know how well they pay, but they pay. I've never heard anything about them not paying. In fact, it was always kind of cool when I would get a check because the check would actually be from Epitaph, or it would have that, you know, Epitaph's company logo on it.
Kind of cool.
And I always thought to myself, you know what? If you would have told me back in 1994 or something like that, you know, like listening to Bad Religion and stuff, that I was going to get a check from Epitaph, I probably would have been, thought it would have been, if I got one, would have been for something completely different. But, yeah, so that was kind of cool. I don't know if that's, I mean, they might have actually, that might not be the same anymore either, but it used to be the Epitaph issued the checks for them, which was fun.
That's cool.
So, yeah, they got a decent catalog, too. I mean, they've been around, like I said, they've been around a few years. So.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was something I was going to say, and I can't remember what. I had a bunch of thoughts going around in my head, but they were all half-formed, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know how much, like, you know, I was thinking, why do people get so nationalistic about their cities that they live in?
Pardon?
Like, people get so aggressively proud of their cities, you know?
Well, I mean, it's like being on a team. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, but you don't get, like, that proud of your own house. Like, why would you get that proud of just the general city that you live in?
People are proud of their houses.
People are proud of their houses, but they're not, like, getting ready to get in a fist fights over their houses or something, you know, like...
Are you talking shit about my house?
I'm sure people have gotten in fights over houses.
Oh, they have, but not for the same reasons that they would get in the, you know, fights over their cities.
Hmm.
It's just like, maybe I don't get it because to me, living in one place is pretty much like living in another, except for how much it costs to live there. But,
yeah.
I mean, obviously there's differences from city to city, depending on where you are and where you live and stuff. But
association with a place and you, I mean, I don't think it's an unusual behavior. I feel like right now Memphis, I don't even live there.
It's not unusual. I'm not saying it's unusual or anything. I'm asking why people get so militant about their cities. It's like, And it's not surprising because people get militant about their like sports teams too, you know. But
I'm not proud. I'm understanding, but I don't get militant.
Well, by militant, I just mean aggressively. They get aggressively proud, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to say, "Hey, I help make the city a great thing, and I'm happy and proud of that." But it's like people just get like, you know, New York sucks. Chicago's better. Chicago sucks. Yeah. New York's better. You know, like
that's true.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I just don't understand. It's like when you just see people chanting USA, USA, but it's like, what are they exactly proud of? You know, it's a big country. A lot of people made it, you know? Like, what exactly are you proud of when you're proud of your city, you know?
It's like you're not proud of something.
I guess I'm not. I don't really, like I said, one city's pretty much like another, you know?
Well, I don't know how I can explain it.
They're all flavors.
Yeah, flavors.
New York is a very different flavor than Chicago.
Right, but I'm saying, like, I'm still, what I'm not understanding is the individual, I don't know, man.
Do you have any band t-shirts?
Used to. Well, yeah, I mean, I still have a bunch. Never wear them, though.
Then you understand.
No, because I was never, like, proud of them.
You're a fan of them.
I liked what they did, yeah. That's a different
exactly.
thing.
It's the same thing.
But it's like preferences. Like, let's say you prefer to live in New York because you like this, 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 and you love those things.
I understand that, but it's like getting into a fist fight over somebody over, like, pistachio ice cream versus
who
vanilla.
Who does understand that? You shouldn't be getting in fist fights over stuff.
Yeah, who's getting into a fist fight about
that? Okay, you guys are purposely misunderstanding me or something here.
No,
okay.
We are not.
I understand people getting into fist fight about sports teams.
And okay, granted, let's disregard the fist fight thing. All right, just quick getting in, you know, getting in bunches about that. What I'm saying is like, okay, like you guys named your studio after your city,
mm-hmm.
But what made the city so special that you'd name your studio after? Is it just because you're there? I mean,
no, we were just looking for a clever name.
Okay, so that has nothing to do with, like, actually the city itself, then. You just wanted something to call it.
Flag, they have a cool flag.
Okay.
Well, I like Chicago, though.
Yeah, I mean, I like visiting Chicago. It's great. I liked a lot of the people there, you know, and it's got a lot of amenities that are super cool. It was nice having really good restaurants all over the place, like, within easy access distance. But, I mean, you know, like, I don't know. Words. It is really frustrating not being able to correctly express yourself.
I agree.
Like, in a way that, like, to be able to express yourself so concisely that people cannot, you know, cannot not understand, you know?
Here's,
wait a minute. That's a, like a triple negative. See, there I am again. I'm messing it up.
I think that what you're expressing only really happens mainly to younger 20-year-olds. And it's mainly because they left whatever town they were in before and then moved to a bigger city. And that new city is so different and quote-unquote cooler than wherever they were before.
So you're saying it's like tied up in a sense of like new freedom and
yes,
and expansion and better things.
I mean, I mainly hear it from New York people. That's the main culprit.
Oh yeah, New York people get upset if you say anything about the city.
But also New York people, it's also people that grow up in New York. It's just East Coasters, I think, more than anything. They're like so tied to whatever their city is. They can't imagine living anywhere else besides that city. Like, a New Yorker grows up in New York, and they're like, well, I want to move anywhere else. It's New York.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if I grew up in Chicago, I mean, it would be like, why would I stay in Chicago?
Portlanders seem to be, and not aggressive like New Yorkers are aggressive, but Portlanders don't seem the same kind of aggressive anyway. But Portlanders seem about as wrapped up in their city as, like, Chicagoans and New Yorkers are, you know?
Yeah, it's because they have, like, weird blinders on.
It's a form of snobbery.
And it's
like very okay.
And it's not even like big cities or anything or popular cities. I mean, there are a lot of Cincinnatians that are so fucking Cincinnati and that it would drive you nuts, you know?
Thank you.
Because you guys don't have anything else.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Come on.
Dude, we got a lovely skyline.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean the chili?
Oh, well, that too, yeah. No, I was thinking the actual skyline, you know. But, I just don't, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to, like, to get so wrapped up in something that you don't actually have as much to do with as you think you do, I guess, is so something I don't get.
Hmm.
And some of that ties into, like, I try to wrap my head around things like Trump supporters, you know, having so much blinders about him, you know, that I'm like,
well, that's, I mean, they brought that up. It's very much they call it tribalism, where it's a sports team mentality. You stick with your team.
And sports teams, I've brought this up before. I don't understand the, aggressively liking something so much that you have really nothing to do with, or don't have much, you know, much to have. You haven't contributed much to it or anything, you know? Like, this thing was there when you came there. You just sort of glommed onto it, and all of a sudden it's like you're super proud of it, you know?
It gives you a feeling of belonging.
So it's culty.
It is culty, yeah.
I mean,
low-grade culty, but...
And by that, I mean, though, it's the same thing that cults prey on to create cults, right? Like, that same sense?
Yeah.
I mean, sports team is feeling part of something, right?
That's what I just said.
You win when they win.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
But wouldn't it be... Okay. I guess it's substitution, then. Because it's like, it seems to me that you would rather pursue something that you could actually contribute to be part of, as opposed to just... second.
But fans feel like they're contributing.
What are they contributing?
Their fandom.
I mean, at least with a city, I can kind of get it. You live there, you help make the place a better place in small amounts, right? You know?
Their excitement. They're adding to that.
But, like, fandom is not... fandom contributes nothing, dude. Not in any kind of fandom. No, that's not true. Hold on. I need to back that up. That's not true. I mean, fandom gives validation to the people that are creating things or performing the acts or doing whatever. And fandom taken to a point of, say, like the cosplay people, you know, adds to the culture of the thing.
Okay, let's say you're being a passive
fan of something does not contribute anything to the fandom. Like,
let's say you're a baseball player and you hear that like a bunch of fans showed up that day. Probably feels pretty good, and that probably contributes to how well you play. Or you're a comic artist and you go to a show and a guy shows up and he's like, "I love this fucking book. It's a great book." You go home, you may feel a little better about that thing.
Well, yeah, that's what I just said. I mean, you know, fans, you know, validate the people creating the stuff.
Right.
But that's still not contributing. That's just validation. I mean,
why do they have to contribute?
No, my point is, though, is that if you want to feel like you're part of something, how can you feel like you're part of something if you're not actually part of it?
Hey, you are asking us to prove something to you that you are incapable of understanding. We can't explain to you how to feel something that you don't feel.
But you're getting, like, camaraderie, friendship, whatever. Like, let's say you go to a bar and, like, watch the game.
We just told you, like, in basic terms why, but you don't understand it because you don't feel that.
Right.
So, you understand what I'm saying? I don't understand wrestling, but people really like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm trying to separate the things because I get what fans get out of it as far as being able to talk to somebody else about something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like having common interests with other people so that you make friendships and build relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. But I'm saying that when people get indignant about something that they have nothing to do with because they like it. Right? Like if somebody insults John Mayer to a John Mayer fan, like a John Mayer fan takes it as a personal insult.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but if the fan didn't do anything to make John Mayer John Mayer, it's not like the fan's got anything to do with it except that they just like it.
They just really like it, and you made them sad, so they are defending themselves. I mean, it depends on the extent that you take it. I mean, that's what Comicsgate's all about.
Okay.
I mean, it's a bunch of people that think that they are such fans that they own something.
And
so they will, and whatever they do is to keep that in their quote unquote
power.
Yeah, is allowed.
Yeah, and that's another form of what I'm talking about is that like how fanship turns
into a logical extension of what you're talking about, I think.
Fanship turns into a sense of ownership of something.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, and I need to clarify. It's not that I've never experienced this or don't. I'm trying to understand why it happens. I am just as guilty of having this happen with stuff too, where you know I'll get indignant about something I like, you know, even though I had nothing to do with it. But
see, before you were saying you didn't do that.
No, I'm saying I don't understand it, and I don't understand why I do it.
Well, I don't know what to tell you because.
But the city thing, the city thing, I've never felt any kind of particular pride in the city. And in fact, like, you know, I grew up in Cincinnati, but when I came back to Cincinnati from Chicago, I didn't mean to, but, and I had to get yelled at to stop doing it because I kept doing it, but I kept bagging on Cincinnati, you know.
I loved Memphis when I lived there. I loved it because it was the big city from where I was. I went there, I liked it, I spent, well, until now, most of my life there. And, you know, and then, you know, people talk about how great Nashville was, and they're like, Memphis sucks, we should go to Nashville, and I lived in Nashville, and I was like, this place is terrible.
Yeah.
And so you get that kind of, you know, you get a certain sort of, you know, pride. I never got any fights over it.
I'm just trying to, like, for me, when I came back from Chicago and started being real negative about Cincinnati when I first came back, it wasn't even Cincinnati I was being negative about. It was that I felt like I had gotten out of my nest, you know, by moving to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I like that thing, that early 20s, you know, where you break out and
defeated.
Yeah, and then by coming back, I felt like I was a failure. So I was taking that out on being back in Cincinnati rather than turning it inward and, you know, bagging on myself, you know. So I get that. I never actually felt a tie to either city. It's not like I knew why I left Chicago, and I left Chicago for good reasons, you know? And that's fine. I'm not I regretted some of it. Like, you know, I regretted the loss of, like, you know, being able to interact with my friends on a daily basis and stuff like that.
We're okay with it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know you were. Nobody really cared. But...
Shut up!
Well, you know, I mean... Functionally, my leaving Chicago didn't make any difference to anybody but me.
You wanted the place to destroy itself after you left?
No!
We can't handle it!
I'm not saying this like it should have been. I'm saying that functionally it made no difference, and that's fine. That's the way things are, you know? But that's the thing about a city. You leave the city doesn't give a shit about you. You know? Why do you give a shit about the city? I just realized I've had this discussion before.
Lister famous basketball player.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, no!
Yeah.
Leave our city!
Because I think I've even said something really similar before a long time ago. I think we've had this discussion, and I didn't get it then either.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. That
surprise!
Wow. It's like a freaking snake eating its tail, man.
Yeah. I'm boring. We're boring ourselves.
Welcome to Doppelganger episode.
No shit. Oh, speaking of that, I was thinking about something else. Because this all came up because I had a bunch of like half thoughts in my head, and I'm trying to explore them. Do any of you, or have any of you ever read a story that involved teleportation, but the setup was that somebody finds out that teleportation isn't actually teleportation, it's just destroying the person on one end and creating a new version of them on the other?
I've talked about this.
And then, but when this happens, in the story, I'm trying to remember, because I don't remember what it was or who wrote it, but in the story I'm remembering, somebody discovers this, and they, because, like, something happens to one of the teleporters, and all of a sudden there's, like, duplicates of people floating around?
Yeah, they've done this in lots of, like, there was an Outer Limits like this.
Star Trek. Riker.
Right, but they never said in Star Trek that you were destroying one person and creating a new one. Like...
I mean, they pretty much are saying that.
I don't remember them ever saying that.
Isn't that Hugh Jackman magic movie about this?
Oh, I guess it was, sort of, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah, I guess it was. But I remember reading this in a print story. At some point.
It's not a new concept.
I'm just trying to remember.
There's been several science fiction stories about this very topic.
I'm just trying to remember what it was.
I watched like some kind of sketch thing like Outer Limits or something. They had an episode about it and it freaked me out.
Huh. And do you realize that
the concept of teleportation doesn't work. You are killed.
Right. Well, and that was a thing. I think that was part of the story is that people found out that like you didn't have to be. It's just they set up the devices to destroy the original so that there wouldn't be two of everything running around. And that was like part of what was so horrible about it, you know? Because they were actually making the choice to kill people. But like, you know, everybody used these transporters for like public transportation and stuff. So it was like, you know, it was so common that people were dying like 20 times a day or whatever, you know? The same people.
Or whatever.
And that was like, I guess, that, you know, that's where the story conflict came in or whatever. Huh. And do you realize, too, also, that if that technology existed, where like a duplication technology, say, where you could perfectly just replicate something, that would destroy capitalism, dude.
Why do you think it's the only reason it makes sense that Star Trek doesn't have capitalism, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, because if you can readily, I mean, I don't know that it would destroy capitalism, because you'd still need somebody to produce the energy to produce the stuff, right? But, like, as far as material things went, you know, all the material stuff could just be made at will, like, no matter what, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like teleportation would destroy shipping, right? Shipping and travel.
Right, yeah. And, you know, like, and what does... In a world like that, then what becomes wealth, right? I mean, because if you don't... If money's not wealth, if physical goods aren't wealth anymore, then what is wealth?
Art.
Right? Yeah, I guess. I mean, things that machines can't make, right? Like, although, you know, with proper AI, I mean, machines are probably going to be able to make art eventually, at least art that most people can enjoy. So even that would become negligible. I guess, though, I mean, machines would have to get to a point where they could originate an original idea. Originate an original idea? Yeah, that's a double thing.
But also, like, point of view, you know?
Right, yeah, because, I mean, as long as I don't know, and this you know, I mean, people say nothing new ever happens anymore because everything's been done, but, I mean, still, there's always somebody with a new take on something, right? You know?
Yeah.
Even if you've seen elements of it before, you still haven't seen that thing, whatever that thing is that you're, you know, seeing for the first time. But, Okay, so yeah, I mean, that's a bunch of random stuff.
Back to teleportation.
Yeah.
My favorite teleportation thing is still Stars My Destination.
Still what? What was it?
The Stars My Destination.
Alfred Bester?
Yeah.
That was the one where they couldn't travel between distances, so they would...
Like... So, a normal person can travel here to there, just like using their mind.
That train was really happy about what you said.
But this guy is able to, like, stretch, and he can go, like, planet to planet, essentially.
Yeah.
But my favorite shit in there is that because anybody can go anywhere, your houses, you have to make them into mazes, otherwise people can just jump into your house.
Yeah, I remember bits of that. Like, I remember what you're talking about. Like, you had to make your houses confusing.
Yeah, so that, you know, people can't just break in.
Like, sometimes the consequences of a novel idea are more interesting than the actual novel idea itself, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the book is awesome, too.
No, yeah, I mean, Bester was a great, you know, great writer. I'm still kind of, like, rambling in my head. Like, I'm going a bunch of different directions at once.
You've been very rambly today.
Well, it's just because I don't know why. Part of it is I'm so brain dead from the constant working for the past 2 weeks that I'm just sort of, my mind's trying to relax, I guess, by thinking about other stuff. My neuroplasticity is supposed to be, you know, improving. My brain hurts, Mike. My brain hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, really, it is really the consequences of major events that are, like, the interesting thing.
Yeah, that's why I'm always frustrated that Star Trek never explores, like, the 21st century? Is that what it was? Everything got all fucked up?
Where they almost had, like, the whatever, the Great War or whatever?
Like World War III happens, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the... They make all those super people.
Oh, right, the con people.
Yeah, that's where con comes from.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that time period would be really interesting to, like, get into and, like... early teleportation stuff, like how that affects everything and what it's like on Earth during all that, and when the Vulcans show up and all that stuff, you know?
Well, they kind of did with the Vulcan stuff.
In Voyager?
Enterprise and that, the movie with Cochran or whatever.
Yeah, like, it feels like the more interesting stuff is the upheaval that would be happening on Earth.
I'm still trying to figure out, speaking of the movie with Cochran, like, the conditions they were living in, how the hell did he build a rocket?
You know? It did look like they were living in a camp.
I mean, yeah, because it looked kind of like that was like post-civilization, almost.
You know? It was like kind of post-apocalyptic. And he had a bunch of stuff. Seemed like he had parts of shit.
It was just weird that living like that, he managed to build a rocket that could get into orbit. Like,
yeah.
It took us like 2,000 years of civilization to do that, you know?
Yeah, but he had all the shit.
That's true. But the only reason that would be an interesting time period for them to explore, and I'm betting the only reason they didn't is because that wouldn't feel much like a Star Trek story.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, even Discovery is sort of non-Star Trek-y in some ways, but...
When does that set?
That's set 5 years before Kirk.
Okay. So, in between Enterprise and TOS, I guess?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
How far ahead was Enterprise?
I thought Enterprise... Well, Enterprise was the first generation of its ship.
Yeah.
So I think that was supposed to be like 100 years, maybe, or 75 years?
Okay, yeah.
I'm not 100% sure on that, on the timeline there, but I think that's when it was supposed to be, because it was... Or was it 300 years? Because the Kirk's era, they've been around, the Federation had been around for a while.
So yeah, the Eugenics War is 92 to 96.
I remember that.
Oh wait, okay, so that happens, and then World War III happens 2049 to 2053.
We're still on track.
2054 to 2079 is what they call post-atomic horror.
So that's like Buck Rogers in the 25th century time period.
Yeah. Like 2063 is First Contact.
Okay, so the Cocker movie's 2063.
And then Enterprise is 2151.
Oh, wow. Almost 100 years later?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't realize it was that far from the Cochrane era.
Let's see. I'm trying to find...
like what the dates are for...
Oh, okay. So then Star Trek TOS is 2266.
Okay, so about 100 years later then, I guess?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I thought I remember them even saying that at some point. Not saying that, but like being able to figure that out from what they were talking about or something.
Yeah.
So was Discovery good? I never actually did watch it.
It's weird.
Hmm.
I thought it was fun to watch. I think it's a bad Star Trek show, but a fun sci-fi show.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they really double down on, like, Mirror Universe and all that shit.
There are things... Okay, and this is going off on another tangent, but there are things that I don't understand, like, for long-running series, when they keep bringing things back, why are they always the things that I think are interesting as a one-off, but, like, are never actually all that great when you keep seeing them over and over?
Yeah, I mean, they really go into it, and they do some fun stuff with it, but it's definitely weird.
Like the Borg.
Yeah.
I really did not like the Borg, and the Borg were like became like the biggest deal for a long time, you know?
Mirror is at least more fun to me than Borg.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like Mirror, when it's... Because, you know, when it first showed up, it was like a fun thing, almost.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but it was, you know? It was like, oh, this is neat and novel. And then, like, it would pop up here and there, and it was like kind of treated tongue-in-cheek, almost. But it, when it, came, it kept happening, it was just sort of like, oh, okay, yeah, this again.
Yeah.
It was almost like it was being used as a way to use the same characters for recognition, but like just tell a completely different story or something, you know, like so that you didn't have to like progress the main line or something. I don't know. Like, it's like it started feeling like Clips episodes, or how I feel like when I see a Clips episode or something, you know, like it's just a big waste of time after a certain point.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not bad. I'm curious what the next season's going to be like.
Oh, okay. So that's... Was that a Netflix or Hulu thing?
CBS Online.
Oh. So neither one of them.
Yeah. It, I don't know. I wish they had done what they originally had planned on doing. Like, before they fired... What's his name? What's that dude's name?
J.J. Abrams?
No, the Pushing Daisies guy.
Oh, Brian Fuller?
Yeah, Fuller, because Fuller, like, it was his idea originally.
Yeah.
Because what the concept for the show was supposed to be was that it was a lower deck show, that you'd have, like, hardly any interaction with, like, the main deck and the captain and all those characters.
Oh, okay, like a Marvels kind of thing.
What's that?
Marvels.
Like a man in the street story, as opposed to the superhero story.
It's supposed to be like them doing shit down there and like how, what their life is like on the ship, you know?
Yeah.
But it gets, they like throw that out pretty quickly.
Oh.
And then each season was supposed to be like their own thing. I think it wasn't always going to be the same ship or the same people.
Oh, well, see, that would have been cool. Like exploring different ships in the fleet and stuff?
Yeah. Like, I think Discovery was meant to be more like Discovery of like what Star Trek is like, you know?
Right.
But they, I don't know, they dumped all that shit.
Huh.
In the next season, it's like them hanging out with people on the Enterprise.
Oh, okay. So of course I got to tie it all back into the main thing everybody knows about, right?
Yeah, I mean they did some dumb shit. Like the main girl, she's an adopted sister of Spock.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Was that new, or did Spock ever have an adopted sister?
No, that's all brand new.
Oh.
Yeah. So, she's going to interact with Spock in the next season, I guess, because he's on Pike's Enterprise.
And that's going to be, what's his name from Heroes, right? Or the movie Spock, the new movie Spock.
Nope.
Oh, different actor entirely?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
That always gets confusing to me.
It's Gregory Peck's son.
No kidding.
Gregory Peck.
Yep.
Huh.
Great. Okay. I'll be back.
All right. So there we are. Lots of Star Trek info.
Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peckery.
You need to shut the fuck up.
Whoa. That was a little extreme, don't you think?
Was it extreme?
Well, that's a little needlessly sarcastic, don't you think?
Was it not extreme enough?
Well, that's kind of a bullying thing to ask. So, hi, Mike.
Hi, what's up?
Oh, you know, the huge.
The huge?
The huge. How you, you feeling good? Feeling great?
I'm not feeling good.
What's wrong?
I'm feeling like bleh.
Emotionally or physically?
Emotionally.
Hmm. Is it post-travel blues?
No. I don't know what it is.
Hmm.
I'm getting my work done, right. But something gnawing in my head, like something bad's going to happen.
Ah, premonition.
Maybe.
I mean,
it doesn't help that I, you know, Tim and... who's that other guy? Ryan are like the most mopey dudes in the world when it comes to the business of comics.
Yeah. And
just listening to them all day yesterday and like, well, why are any of us drawing comics then? You guys sound like it's a terrible idea and that we should all just get out.
That would probably help the business of comics if a lot of people got out of it. Because there'd be fewer people and more money divided up between all those people. Right.
But, yeah, it's just like, it got me all depressed yesterday, and it's like, I'm usually the one that's like, no, I'm going to still do it.
Right. So.
Yeah, feeling kind of meh about stuff.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all right, I'll get over it. Like I said, I can't complain, so I won't.
I find a nap helps.
A nap?
Well, quite often a nap helps.
I don't like to nap. I'm sure I've told you that before.
No nappy nap for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been feeling... I don't remember when I was happy.
Oh!
Oh, Jesus.
No, and I don't mean that's different from being depressed. Like, I know depressed, and I'm
never
not...
when I was happy.
I just don't remember when I was happy. Like, mm-hmm. But I'm not even sure that, in thinking back on it, like, I'm not even sure when I was happy, if I was really happy, or if I was just, like, you know, deluding myself into thinking I was happy. Like, have I ever really been happy since I was a kid?
Oh, great. I'm sorry we went down that road.
What is happiness, Mike? No. I've been content sometimes, but usually content is bad. Bad things happen to me when I'm content.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I've been happy. I've had fun. I've had up moments, you know. But what is happy? Anyway. Toujours gay. Always toujours gay.
I don't know what that just said.
It's okay, Archie.
What is he saying?
I'm making a reference to a very old prose and comic strip from the newspapers back in like the 30s and 40s. It was Archie and what was it? Hezekiel? It was about this talking roach and a cat. And they interacted with each other. And Roach wrote stories on a typewriter by jumping around on the keys. Because he was a reincarnated newspaper man.
What is this?
It was called, hold on. It's super old, dude. I've got a book of them. Like an old hardcover book of them. Archie and... Jeez. I can't remember the cat's name. It's like Ezekiel or Jezebel or something like that.
Wow.
And she was a reincarnated, what did they call like Cleopatra and stuff? The Egyptian, were they queens, princesses, something like that?
Queen, yeah.
Okay, yeah, she was like a, you know, reincarnated something or another, and he was a reincarnated newspaper man. Hmm. Archie, hold on. I'm trying to find it. It's Archie the Roach. But I can't remember the book's title. Mehitabel. That was her name. Mehitabel. Although I'm not really sure how to pronounce that. And one of the quirks of the, like when this stuff would get printed in the newspaper, because it was being written by a roach jumping around on a typewriter, punctuation would be missing and like all the letters would be lowercase because of course he couldn't hold down the shift key and jump on a key at the same time. Except for a couple of the stories he managed to get the shift key stuck and he would jump on the keys and then it would be all in uppercase.
I don't know. It's so weird.
Look up here. This explains it. He, you know, sticks his 4-inch orange door hinge in storage. And, no, different thing entirely. But yeah, Archie and Mehitabel. It was Don Marquis was the actual writer's name. He was a columnist.
Don Marquis.
Welcome. Yeah, so this shit was actually created in 1916, and it ran in papers and from the 20s and the 30s, and you know, into the 20s and 30s. So
how do you fucking know about it?
Because it's sometimes it's relevant. When I read,
no, that's not an answer to my question. How do you know about it?
I saw.
Did you write any paper you ever saw?
No, I saw somebody else talking about it being a book that they had in their house, like when they were growing up. It was just an old book they had in their house that they liked to read when they were a kid. And I thought it looked interesting, and they had posted one of the stories from the book they had, and it was about this spider talking about. That's hard to explain, but anyway, I thought that story was interesting, so I tracked down the book and read the book, and that's why I know about it.
Fucking weirdo.
It's a very convoluted way to find out about things, but yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But still, it's really good, though, man. You should read it.
Just be ashamed of yourself.
Because I know about something you don't?
No. Just, yeah. You should be ashamed of yourself for being you.
Well, that's not nice. In fact, that's a pretty mean thing to say to somebody.
It is pretty mean. I'm sorry. Are you humping me or are you?
I don't think I'm humping you, no.
Humping!
I'm not a terrier. yes, I was grumping you.
Are you grumping?
Anyway, yeah. I was just reading it, actually, because it's a lot of it's funny and interesting, and some of it gets really political, and it's weird how political stuff from 100 years ago can still be relevant now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of strange. But, yeah, I don't know. Don Marquis, Archie and Mehitabel. And I don't know if I'm saying Mehitabel right. It's Mehitabel. It could be mm-hmm. Mehitabel. I don't know.
Mehitable.
It could be. I don't really know how to pronounce it. To me, it looks like Mehitabel. I guess I'm thinking that because it sounds sort of like Clarabelle? I don't know. Whatever. Tevs, dude. Tevs.
Yeah, Tevs.
freaking weirdo. Your face is a freaking weirdo.
No, stop being mean to me.
You? All right, so, despite being dead for more than half a century, Don Marquis has his own website.
What? How'd that happen?
I don't know.
I saw a tweet from Isaac Hayes yesterday, and I'm like, how long has that guy been dead?
Wait, dead Isaac? Wait, is Isaac Hayes dead?
Yeah, he is dead. He has been for a while, but I think this is just a Twitter account for him. But it has his name on it, and it's verified, so it's kind of confusing because it's like, is he tweeting from beyond?
Oh, he died in Memphis.
Yeah, he's from Memphis. He lived there. He had a house.
He was our
most prominent Scientologist.
He was born in Covington.
Yeah, Covington, Tennessee. It's like outside of Memphis.
Yeah. So, yeah, he died back in 08.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Chocolate salty balls.
Hey, what do you know? Do you know anything about Lebanon, Tennessee?
Yeah, that's where Eric Powell used to live. It's outside of Nashville. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Huh. Well, there's somebody in Lebanon, Tennessee, selling a very old Italian string synthesizer that needs a lot of work, but he's selling it really cheap, but it's for local pickup only.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was halfway thinking about making a road trip. I think it's about 4.5 hours from here.
Yeah, it's not that far from you.
But, well, I mean, 4.5, that's still like a 9 hour. It's an entire work day's worth of driving, you know, like.
Well, you've done weirder stuff.
It is really cheap, though. How far is Lebanon from other stuff? I think it's right by Memphis or something, isn't it?
No, it's right by Nashville. I just told you
Yeah,
this.
Okay, it's right by Nashville.
It's 20 miles east of Nashville, or maybe not even 20, but it's right outside of Nashville. It's like a suburb almost.
So I could go from there and just drive into Nashville and do something for a couple hours and then come home.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what you do in Nashville.
What does one? Yeah, what does one do in Nashville?
You're made for Nashville, so funny.
I hate it. I hate Nashville.
So many people I know just like fucking love Nashville.
I know. They're all snobs.
You don't like good food, so.
What? Are you fucking kidding me? It has nothing to do with food.
Obviously there's a lot of music going on in Nashville, right?
Yes, there is a lot of music going on in Nashville. Is it too what?
Weird.
It's not. Shut up with the weird crap. It is not weird. That's the problem with Nashville. Is it's not weird. It's such a fucking commercial piece of shit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I've heard Nashville's just gotten really commercial and boring.
It is.
Sort of like Austin.
It was never as cool as Austin is the thing.
And I don't even know. I mean, I don't know any of this from experience. It's just when you hear people talk about, like, Austin used to be cooler. But, of course, that could be just sour grapes. So I don't know. But, I don't know. I mean, I get some of this. Well, Nashville's not really known for the barbecue, right? That's more of a Memphis thing.
It's a Tennessee thing, but, yeah, it's Memphis more than Nashville. Although they'd probably try and take credit.
That famous Nashvillean, barbecue. Oh, so when we came up with Nashvillean, that makes even more sense, because you don't like Nashville, so of course Nashville would be the Nashvillean.
Yes, that's what I like about it.
Oh, okay.
Memphis versus the Nashvillean.
Well, that makes so much more sense now.
I already gave the idea to Rafer, put in Next Art.
Oh, Grumble?
No. We were going to have them go to Memphis anyway, so...
Memphis versus the Nashvillean. Are they wrestlers? Wrestlers?
I think it makes sense to make them wrestlers, yes.
Huh. All right, then.
Somehow Satan will be involved, I think. Because you can't avoid that Southern Crossroads kind of reference.
This site's saying they're better at barbecue than Memphis.
What fucking site is that? Well, fuck them, bunch of snobs.
So I could go down to Lebanon.
Absolutely not true.
I could go down to Lebanon, buy the thing I want to buy, and then hop on over to the state's best barbecue over in Nashville. And then...
They got good hot chicken. That's about it. But why the fuck would you want to eat hot chicken? That shit's like... doesn't taste good. It tastes like chemicals. It's too much.
Yeah, I don't want no hot chicken. Are you talking about buffalo wings?
No, hot chicken.
Oh. So, yeah. Anyway.
This is the closest I've gotten to a Spider-Man 3 rant in a long time.
You feel good? Does it feel good? You like it?
No, because I don't think people didn't understand it when I was in Memphis, because everybody in Memphis is like, oh, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to move to Nashville. It's like, fuck you. Good riddance.
You know, I've heard that Nashville have cats that play as clear as country water.
I don't know what that's in reference to.
It's a song, Nashville Cats. Yeah.
Oh, that's the name of their hockey team.
Oh, it's also a song.
Or soccer team or whatever. It's some stupid minor league bullshit team that nobody ever goes to see.
Because nobody gives a shit about Nashville.
No, that's the problem. People do give a shit about Nashville. Nobody cares about Memphis.
Looks like they have really nice green spaces.
Yeah, Memphis's green spaces are, you know, not nearly as nice as Nashville's. Does Memphis have green spaces, Mike?
Yes, it does have green spaces. It has lots of great green spaces.
Well, a lot of really good chefs have moved there.
Because it's hip to live in Nashville, that's why. It's a little fucking hipster city.
So it's probably pretty nice.
Oh, my God.
comfortable and nice to hang out.
Yeah, if you got a lot of money, sure. He's just trying to get my goat now.
Yeah, but I've heard that Nashville's got better goats. That's kind of funny. Well then.
I'm just playing into the first question of the show.
The nationalist attitude of city people?
It's not nationalist.
Well, cities are like little...
definition, it's not nationalist.
Cities are like little nation states.
It's municipalitist, or whatever it is.
Municipalitist. Yeah, that just doesn't roll off the tongue like nationalist, though.
No? Like Memphian?
Like, yes, like Memphis. Memphis is...
Memphistian?
Memphistian? Memphisto!
Memphisto!
You're making a Memphistian bargain.
Yeah.
Which just means...
Cool. Everything sucks compared to Ann Arbor, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's a given, so... if you're
we can't all have Jumper filmed there.
Was that filmed in Ann Arbor?
No.
Huh. We've had movies filmed in Cincinnati, you know.
Yeah, but not good ones.
What? Lockdown?
Lockdown?
Yeah. Starring Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, I'm sure I know what you're talking about.
And that movie where, what was the name? Cheadle? Where Cheadle plays, you know, the musician? James Brown? No, I don't think it was James Brown. Was it a jazz musician he was playing? I can't remember now. They made movies about both of them.
Airborne was made there.
Yeah, it was Airborne. So,
it's probably the best movie that was made there.
Oh, come on now. Part of Rain Man was filmed here. Definitely. So, we're kind of a cosmopolitan movie city.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think of Cincinnati.
Yep. Oh, yeah, okay, so. The guy I was calling Don Marquis, who wrote the Archie and Mehitabel stuff.
Marquis.
His last name's not. It's spelled Marquis, like the Marquis, you know, Marquis, like the function, the title Marquis. Mm-hmm. But apparently, he pronounced his name Marquis.
Where was he from? Cincinnati.
Damn, dude.
I'm trying to get you to come out and go against your understanding.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out why you're picking on me. I know you just told me why you're picking
See,
on me.
See, am I picking on you? I thought you couldn't associate like that.
Not.
I'm just picking on your city, not you.
Not having a sense of city pride doesn't mean I'm dumb enough to not recognize when you're trying to get a dig in on me.
I'm not digging on you. I'm digging on your crappy-ass city.
Yeah, but you're doing it to try to get a dig on me.
No, I'm not.
Because you don't care about Cincinnati one way or the other.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Cincinnati.
It's a
Cincinnati. Cincinnati never did anything to me.
No, in fact, I think Cincinnati's probably been pretty hospitable to you overall.
Yeah.
So.
I did like going down there for that show.
Yeah. I should hit that other one sometime, see what it's like now. But I think it's gotten a lot bigger, too. A lot less comic-y. Yeah. Or at least... comic-centric. But that's pretty much all of them now, so. Unless you go to a hotel show or something.
Not Thought Bubble, that's for sure.
Oh, okay. Not Thought Bubble.
Not Thought Bubble is very much comic-centric.
But that's in a whole different country.
It's in a whole different country!
Mm-hmm. Right on, brother.
Right on, Broheem.
Broheem. So, tell me, Mike, do we have any email? Do tell. And in the meantime, I'm going to talk about something. Oh, yeah. Say, it's October. People are doing all kinds of things for October. some people are doing Riftober, where they, you know, record themselves playing some sort of guitar or bass riff or something. Or, you know, maybe a trumpet riff if you play trumpet. I don't know. Do they call trumpet passages trumpet riffs? Is that a riff thing in the trumpet world?
Sure. We have no email.
Okay. Comics folks are taking, you know, a lot of them are taking part in something called Inktober, where you ink something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a Bifftober, where I just celebrate Bifftan.
Bifftober? That's Sean's thing? Does anybody else celebrate that with you?
Just me. I'm an actor who played Bifftan.
You can play more who looks like Bifftan.
And Trump.
So, Bifftober. I believe, somebody, I saw something about Rocktober. I'm not sure how much different that is from Rifftober. But
Rocktober has existed before October.
Rocktober existed before time.
Mm-hmm.
Rocktober has always been around. In fact, some people say that Rocktober was what caused the Big Bang. You know?
The TV show?
Yes, unfortunately.
I like that nobody's ever said that on that show. You just created a catchphrase for a completely made-up character. Sheldon!
Or it was something that they said in the other universe's version of that show.
Badinga?
Badinga?
Yeah.
I'm doing Schlocktober.
Schlocktober, which I assume means you're just continuing to watch movies that are horrible?
Yeah, that's what Phil Hester said. He was like, how is this different?
How is this different?
It's not. It's actually just a return to form, because this is when I started. Oh. I started a year ago in October because I wanted to watch some, you know, those typical cheesy horror movies.
Gosh, has it only been a year?
It's only been a year.
Wow.
It feels like more because I typically watch more than one a day.
Huh. It does feel like more. It feels like you've been doing this for like a couple years now.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it does to a lot of people that watch on Twitter.
Okay, so update us. What have you watched so far for the 3 days of October we've been into?
Well, we haven't done today, which is the third day.
Oh, okay.
The first day was Blood Freak, which is about a killer turkey man.
Okay, with you so far.
He's a drug addict turkey man who sucks the blood of other drug addicts.
Why does a turkey suck blood?
Well, see, that's the thing. He becomes a monster from eating a experimented on turkey.
Okay.
But he's also it reacts to the drugs that he has been addicted to. It's a very anti-drug movie.
So it's like Cloak and Dagger.
It's a lot like Cloak and Dagger. It's almost exactly like Cloak and Dagger.
But a horror movie.
But a horror movie with a turkey man.
Right. Gotcha. All right.
And yesterday was Sleep Stalker, the Sandman's Last Rites.
That sounds like a comic book from the 90s Tim really, really likes.
It was very 90s, and it was more comic booky than it was horror movie.
Was it terrible?
It was boring is what it was. It was just medium, middle of the road. It wasn't, it has Jay Underwood in it, so it had some amazing overacting.
Okay.
But other than that, it was pretty dull.
Why is...
I wanted a part of this whole thing was to kind of regain the magic of that first month. And so far, the movies have not lived up.
Should you maybe let somebody else pick your movies?
Because every time I choose one, it's really bad.
No, yeah. Sean doesn't... I mean, it's not his fault. He doesn't realize that the movies are terrible. But also, people constantly recommend stuff, and it's all stuff that I've already seen.
Right, okay.
Or stuff that's not even that obscure.
Right. Oh, I do have one for you.
I've had 1,000 people recommend Chopping Mall, and I'm like, okay, I like that movie, but I've seen it.
More than once, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So a lot of people do that.
Part of the problem is that we've got different definitions of watchable and bad. which kind of makes it hard for me sometimes to think of stuff you haven't seen that you maybe should see.
Do you have a higher tolerance or a lower tolerance? I would think I have a higher one at this point.
I've got a much lower tolerance to like certain kinds of bad. And I think mine, like, you don't mind technically bad as much as I do.
No, yeah, I actually enjoy it if it's technically bad.
Right, yeah, like if something's filmed on videotape and it's not framed very well or anything, like...
Sometimes I love that because it's all about the what's going on the screen rather than...
Yeah, that gets really in my way. Boring.
Like, I had to stop Alien Beasts. That's one of the few that I gave up on very early on because it was obviously not a movie. It was something that a disturbed individual had just been filming on his camcorder.
Right.
And I heard about it through these bad movie blogs. And there's one called Bleeding Skull I look at a lot, and it had it on there. And I don't read the reviews just because I don't want to spoil it for them. But I probably should, because it tells you right in the review that this is the work of an insane person. And
why is it, and I mean, I agree, or at least I think this way, I should say, is that why does it seem like a boring, middle-of-the-road, like, milquetoast movie is so much worse than a bad movie?
Because it's boring. It's not entertaining. It's no fun to watch.
Right.
Bad movie's fun to watch. Because you're going, wow, I can't believe how bad this is. I can't believe that's a choice that a human being made.
And then you slip into a Christopher Walken accent.
Or in the case of Neil Breen or Tommy Wiseau, you're like, that's a choice that an alien made.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, that's not a... By the way, Neil Breen has a new movie out, and they've announced that it's going to premiere in Chicago, but I cannot find out where or when.
I think you're meant to track it down somehow, probably.
I bet I could just call him. I'm sure I could find his number and just call him and find out.
Would you address him as Neil or Mr. Breen?
I would say Mr. Breen.
Okay. Well, that's polite. Your mama brought you up good.
Well, I mean, I don't know him.
Right. But being a fan of his work, you feel like you know him, right?
I don't feel like anybody knows Neil Breen.
Oh, that's sad for Neil Breen.
I feel like Neil Breen refers to himself as Neil Breen. Oh. Like, he doesn't third person Neil. He says his whole name.
Talk to Neil Breen.
Talk to Neil Breen.
Neil Breen wants to know you.
Who's Neil Breen? I'm Neil Breen. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Neil Breen.
Come with Neil Breen now. Watch Neil Breen's movie.
Bathe with Neil Breen.
Bathe with Neil Breen. I have my microphone away from me this whole time. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it happens. I was able to hear Sean pretty well most of the time. This isn't something for your Schlocktober, but have you ever seen a Brandon Lee movie called Legacy of Rage?
No.
It's on Amazon now. And it's been on Amazon, I think. I decided to watch it the other night.
I haven't watched a Brandon Lee movie that I wasn't entertained by.
This is one I don't know if you can do with the studio because it's subtitled.
What?
Yeah, it's not in English.
Really?
Yep. It's a Chinese movie.
I didn't know he did Chinese movies.
Hong Kong cinema. And it's a very Hong Kong cinema-y kind of movie.
Interesting.
At one point, what confused me about this was, what's the guy's name? He was the main bad guy in Kickboxer. And he popped up in other stuff like around that time period.
Bolo
Young, right? Like he's got I gotta call it a cameo because I mean the screen time's just like barely there, you know. And Brandon Lee winds up like kicking his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And you think this guy is gonna be like a bad guy through the movie because he's Bolo Young, right? You know. And then he just disappears and his threads just dropped like afterwards. Like, you know, it's just weird. Like, okay, that's strange. But there's a weird, weird, nerdy kind of gun dealer involved in this, and a lot of it's a convoluted plot about family and stuff like that. And then, you know, it gets how do I want to say? It's not, I wouldn't exactly call it boring for most of it, but it's pretty just steady for most of it. And then, like, a lot of these movies, it gets batshit in, like, the last 20 minutes. So, it's, and the resolution's weird. it's a strange movie, but, yeah, so, Brandon Lee's Legacy of Rage. Or, it wasn't actually his Legacy of Rage. It was, he was in the movie. But yeah, that one wasn't too bad. This one might fit into your Schlocktober because it's sort of a horror movie. Have you ever seen Amanda and the Alien? Starring Nicole Eggert? Not, sorry. Wait a minute. Is it Nicole Eggert? It is Nicole Eggert, isn't it? Yes, Nicole Eggert, sorry. And it's got a Worf in it, too. And John Deal's in it as well. Stacey Keach is in it, for that matter.
I've added it.
Okay, that one might fit in because it's played as a comedy, but man, the action some of these people and the reasoning of some of these people is pretty fucking horrific, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, just the things people just decide to ignore and embrace, and it's a weird ass fucking movie. And it's not good, but it's not boring either, I didn't think. So hopefully those might add something to your list of things. Because I try to help when I can. You know. I did watch a weird one last night called American Fright Fest is what it was called. And it's not super unique in that I've seen these more... I mean, it's a recent theme where like it's a haunted house horror, like theme park kind of thing gone real horror, you know. And I've seen, I don't know, a handful of movies at least over the past few years, so it's sort of a recent genre, not even a genre, a theme for a horror movie, I guess.
This is from this year.
Yeah, and but this one, it wasn't bad. It's strange in how some of the actors or the characters act is what makes it kind of not bad. Because there's just some strange logic behind some of this stuff. And it's actually got some good gore scenes too, if you're into that. But they're quick. I mean, it's not like they dwell on it, but they're decent gore scenes. Yeah. And has an irresolute resolution, but I think they handled it well enough that I didn't feel dissatisfied with it. Where a lot of times when something's just a very vague ending, I'm not too happy with it. If that makes any sense.
Sure.
Trying to describe it without spoiling it. Yeah. And that's pretty much it for my recommendations because I'm still watching Highlander the series. I'm not quite done with that yet. And I won't talk about it because I know you don't want to hear it. But except to say that I do not recommend anybody buying this set, this new $40-something collection of all six seasons because. From a quality standpoint, it's not very good. There are lots of audio issues, lots of super, because I'm assuming because of the way they had to source it for this reproduction, there's a lot of video quality issues as well.
Wow.
I talked a little bit about that last week, the reframing of it to convert it from 4x3 to 16x9, rematting of it, is not... I don't know, it's just it doesn't work in a lot of it because it just wasn't framed that way, so you're getting like weird cropping, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think sometimes part of the video issues is I suspect they have to blow it up some to make it crop correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And that of course, you know, because I mean that stuff was, I don't know if it was shot to tape, but it kind of sometimes it looks like it was shot to tape. I mean, this was like mid 90s TV production, you know, so Canadian, I think, too, at that Canadian TV production. So, I think Washington is where a lot of it takes place. I think that's actually probably like Vancouver or something like that. But yeah, this is nothing on the show. I still think the show's pretty decent for most of it. But this newest version of the collection, it's not great. If you can save up the money, hunt down the old DVDs. And that's the thing. It's not even like it's a Blu-ray transfer or something like that. These are still just DVDs. It's just a cheaper collection of the set. But if, you know, if you actually want it for quality, then I would save up the money and, because you can still purchase the original DVD releases. They're just kind of pricey. Like, you know, $100 and something if you want to get all six episodes. $130, $140 or something like that. Get all six seasons, I mean, not all six episodes. So that's my word on that.
I don't believe you.
And also, I'm still reading panel discussions. I cannot get through this book, man.
Really?
It's taken me forever. I'm not, for whatever reason, I'm just not enjoying reading this book. There's parts of it. I read Mazzucchelli's section, and his I actually liked a bunch. And I mean, some of it's not that I hate any of it. It's just a lot of it kind of reads really disjointed to me, you know? It's hard to get through. I'm almost done, thankfully, but I'm reading, I can't remember whose section I'm in now. But, yeah, I'll be done with that soon. And then I'm moving on to the book Sean suggested, which I got in the mail, and I did not expect, I guess because I'm expecting these books to be bigger, like school text format size books, and this thing's like almost like pamphlet size. It's a real tiny book, like in physical size. You know?
It's got a good amount of pages, though.
Yeah, and it's all like small type, too, so it's dense as far as information, I think. It's just, when I got it, I wasn't expecting it to be, you know, kind of like paperback size, but thinner, a lot thinner. Like. So, but yeah, moving on to that one next. And then I'll find something else to read. I don't know what. Worry about that when I get to it. And I'm also reading a Kim Stanley Robinson book from last year that's about living in New York while it's underwater because of, you know, the rising sea level. Called New York 2140.
Well, I heard that was pretty good.
It's pretty good so far. I recently read another Robinson book that was called Aurora, I think was the name of it, and it was about the life of these people that are in a generation ship traveling to another solar system. And this is like the tail end of it. We're picking it up. The ship's been in transit for like 160 years or something like that, so this is whatever that is, fourth or fifth generation.
Yeah.
And so it's picking up on their story, pretty much following, you know, a small group of people around in the ship and then how things go bad and they have to like return to Earth and figure out a way to get to Earth, and because the place they wound up in wasn't really habitable, you know. And that dealt with like what it meant to be born into a situation like that, you know, you didn't ask to be put in these bad situations, kind of thing. And that was a really entertaining book too. This one's, it's interesting with Robinson in that like authors tend to have a voice, right? You know, I mean, like especially when they've written a lot, and this author's been around for a long time, so there's a lot of work under that name. And but still, Robinson managed to have a different voice for books. Like it doesn't feel like it's just the same person telling you the same story over and over or anything.
Sure.
And I that's refreshing to me. Like I like that the, you know, how that works. It feels like a different, fresher kind of thing. But I'm not very far into New York 2140 yet, but it's the character works and really entertaining so far. So I was hoping. And that does go a bit of way to explain why I was thinking about Pride and Cities, because I'm reading this book and I'm wondering why the fuck these people would stay here. You know? And I'm like, well, of course they're New Yorkers. Of course they're going to stay in New York, even if it's half underwater. You know, I mean, that's what New Yorkers do, right? but that's what got me thinking about, you know, nationalist pride and stuff like that. City pride. So now you know. Does that help explain anything? Probably not. That's our cue. This is being Wednesday. There's stuff in stores. I assume there's stuff in stores. I don't know what. Oh. Huh. I'm looking at the comics list. Sorry. I saw a title that made me go, what the heck's that? Called Barack Panther.
What?
Yeah, Barack Panther. It's some sort of parody of Black Panther with Barack Obama. Indeed, Michael. Indeed. So scrolling. Stuff. Death Orb! Sorry. I kind of like that title. I never know what Mike or Tim's working on anymore, so I don't know what I'm looking for his stuff.
Yeah, I don't either.
Must not be good, seeing how bummed out about the business he is.
I don't understand.
Barbarella number 10's in stores this week from Dynamite Entertainment. I littered that. It's more Barbarella goodness. And what is? Oh, one of the covers is a diorama cover. Somebody built a diorama with like a little clay figures of Barbarella and her fox dog mouse pet thing.
Weird.
And then took a picture of it and made a cover.
Weird.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Weird.
That was by Michael Adams. So, man, Dynamite's got a decent amount of stuff in stores this week. Pretty cool. And, anything else? How about you, Mike? What do you got in stores this week?
I don't have anything in stores, I don't think.
Well.
I'm trying to find a copy of Moonchild.
What's Moonchild?
It looks like a werewolf movie from 1994.
Uh-huh. Starring anybody familiar?
No, no, not at all.
Oh, okay. That's one of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That and Beyond Dream's Door are two horror movies I've been trying to find.
Beyond Dream's Door. Is that Italian?
No.
Kind of sounds Italian.
Yep, just look. And I'm looking for a movie called Warrior Brother.
All right.
That's not a horror movie, though.
No. No. Was that a blaxploitation film?
I think so, but it was made in 1995 by a guy named Filthy Phil Phillips.
That's not his real name.
Well, he spells filthy with a PH.
Oh, that could be his real name then.
Phil Phillips.
Filthy Phil Phillips. That's fat.
Mm-hmm.
Do people still use fat?
I don't know.
Fat with a PH? Oni Press, Kim Reaper, Vampire Island number 2. I lettered that as well. That's in stores. So, just a friendly reminder, you can also still order the Battle Bug Compugdium.
Yes, please do.
That is available for order. Place your orders. Mm-hmm. Please buy our product.
Mm-hmm.
And,
order, Grumble 2. I think that's in catalog now.
Grumble 2. And Grumble 1 will be in store soon.
Next month.
Next month. So, you know, go in there and buy whatever copies are on the shelf that the retailer ordered that weren't pre-ordered. Make it sell out. That way they order more of it next time.
Mm-hmm.
That's always good.
That's how it works. I don't know if people do that, but I would like for that to be true.
Yeah. Well, it's all pointless anyway. You know, we should all be out of this business.
Well, now you are sounding like Tim.
Yeah, but I bet Tim's been happy, and he can remember when he's been happy.
Man.
There's still several volumes of Brobots in stores that you can get, or available for order, because they're books, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not, like, periodicals or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brobots, that's from Oni. It's a Sean thing. You can get that. And, there's all kinds of stuff. Go see half the 4-star studio in New York if you're in New York this weekend. Stop by and tell them hello. And, I guess that's it, man. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcastgmail.com, Mike's website is ihatemike.com. You can check out BattleBug stuff at battlebug.com. Sean's website is andthankyouforflying.com. Sean has a store on his site. You can buy things there, too. Prints and pins and whatnot.
But it's off right now.
Oh.
I don't want to do that.
Okay. So, yeah. Don't actually give Sean... Don't give Sean your money.
Maybe someday. Just not right now.
Yeah. Christmas is a good time.
Sure, yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah. And that's it. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye.